Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for coming up to EMP. Let us pray. Father God, just thank you so much for today, Lord. And yeah, we just humble ourselves to you. I humble myself before you, God. I ask you to use me to speak your words in your heart, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy Spirit, we just ask for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah. So as I was praying for what to share for today's devotional, the Holy Spirit led me to Luke chapter 11. And I would like to entitle this EMP for today as Ask, Seek, and Knock. So in Luke 11, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. So Jesus then proceeds to teach them the Lord's Prayer. And you know, as we all know, the Lord's Prayer is not an empty repetition of words. It actually describes Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gives us the basic outline of how we should pray, which is we praise God, we give thanksgiving, then we ask for forgiveness, and then we petition God. We ask God for what we need. So I would like to jump off from the Lord's Prayer and move on to Luke 11, verses 5 to 13. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "A friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you." But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. So in today's EMP, I would like to focus on the three aspects of what Jesus was talking about as he elaborated more in prayer, which is ask, seek, and knock. Because I've often wondered, because I have to admit, honestly, when I read this verse, I'm like, oh, I know what it means. I've never really meditated on it. But as I was preparing for this EMP, I feel like there's actually differences in asking, seeking, and knocking. The differences are very nuanced. It's very slight, but there are differences. So ask. Ask and you shall receive. I have often wondered, why do we need to ask? God is all-knowing, and he knows what we need before we even ask. And in fact, there are so many things that he gives us without us asking him. But then in Matthew 6, verse 7, this is what it says. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you asked him. Which goes back to my original question. Why do we need to ask when God, our Heavenly Father, already knows what we need? And I think it's all because God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to have a conversation with us, because prayer is not complicated. Prayer is actually just a conversation. It's just talking to God. And God wants to talk to us. He wants us to communicate with him. He doesn't want us to babble mindlessly, just endless repetition of prayers without meaning it or without understanding it. But he wants us to talk to him like we do another person, a person whom we love and a person who we know loves us. So there is that level of intimacy. I mean, obviously, you won't talk to a person just like ramble, ramble, ramble. You would actually think of the person and consider what you are saying to that person. In the same way, God wants that the same close relationship with us. So, you know, prayer is, but honestly, prayer is not just talking. It's not just us speaking always speaking and talking to God. I mean, that is good. That is part of prayer. But prayer, just like a conversation, is not one-sided. It's actually, because if it's one-sided, that's not a conversation, that's a monologue. What God wants with us is an actual conversation. And in actual conversation, there is a back and forth. There is a give and take. So we take turns. Sometimes we talk, but you also have to take time to listen, to actually be still and listen to what God has to say to us. Because it is in listening to God that we actually learn and we actually hear what are God's thoughts, what is His will, what are His desires, what is His heart for a certain matter. So I think that is the importance of asking God, God, what is your will? What is your will in this particular situation, in this particular question, this particular event, in whatever circumstance it is? So just bring it to God and ask Him. So just going back, so what does, when God tells us to ask and you will receive, what does asking really mean? The point of asking is not to inform God about our needs, because He knows our needs better than we do. But actually the point is for us to know what is God's will, so that our hearts and our desires can be aligned to God's will, because His will is always best. Instead of babbling like pagans, God wants us to ask Him first what His will is before we persist in prayer. It's like agreeing on the building plans before actually proceeding to construct the building. Wouldn't it be a disaster if you spend so much time and effort and money building a huge mega structure only to find out that your plans were wrong in the first place? So God is in His wisdom, so wise. He asks us, before you waste all this time and effort, come to me first and ask me what my will is, so that you don't waste. And it would always be the best if we start the journey right, which is starting off at the right point, starting with what is God's will, what is His desires, what are His plans. So I think a lot of us knows that, yeah, we should ask for God's will. God's will is always best. But then why don't we ask? I mean, speaking for myself, most of the time I don't ask. I just go ahead and do it. I think first, maybe because we are afraid of the answer. And there could be two motivations of why we are afraid of the answer. One is because we want something so much that we don't want to bear the risk of going to ask God and God might say no. And the other extreme is because we're actually afraid that God might say yes. And both are driven by fear. Like when I first came to Christ, so you're a young believer, so I was like a sponge. I was like asking so many, I was really hungry. I was trying to know what God's will is, how is it to become a believer and a follower of Christ. And one of the things that people keep sharing with me was, well, with respect to dating, they were like, oh, you know what? God will not always give you what you want. So you could end up with a person you don't like. And honestly, I was so scared when I heard that. And for a season, I was, there will be some guy who shows some interest who I don't like, and I would be so scared to even ask God, because what if God said yes, and I would be stuck with that person? I know that sounds bad, but but then as I got to know God more, and I got to know His heart and character more, I realized how dumb that statement was. It was well-meaning, but I think it was not the full statement. It was, yes, there are times when what God gives you might not look attractive. It might not be what you want or desire, but if you just allow God and trust God, He will actually reveal to you and eventually to work out that on hindsight, it was actually the best. We just didn't know it when God gave us, but if we just give God the space and the time to work His will and His plans, it actually always turns out for the best. Another point is, why don't we ask? Maybe it's because we just forget to ask. Sometimes when something is so easy or something which is within our capabilities to do, we just go ahead and do it. Because why waste time to ask God? But then, In the Bible, Proverbs 3 tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Leaning means to depend on someone or something, not only when we have to, but we should do it always. And the Bible also tells us to pray unceasingly, meaning praying is meaning talking to God, always consulting to God, with God in everything that we do, not only in the big things, but also in the little things. Because again, God only wants to spend time with us. He wants that relationship. It's not about the answer in the end. It's about spending time with Him, spending time with our Father, someone who loves us and someone who we love. Another is, there are times when we ask God and there is an answer and we don't understand the answer. And an example of this will be the wedding at Cana. So I will just read John 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus replied, "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So I have often wondered, why did Jesus say no when his mother first asked, but then only to perform the miracle later? He actually turned water to wine, so why did he say no in the first place? I think in that instance, Mary was not actually asking Jesus to perform a miracle, because she just went up to him and said, "They have no more wine." She didn't tell him, "Can you turn water into wine?" She just said, "They have no more wine." So she was just asking for help. She's like, "Jesus, they have no more wine. Can you please help?" And then another thing that I noticed, what Jesus actually did not say no. He just said, "Why are you involving me? My time has not yet come." So I wonder what Mary thought when she heard this answer. Was she confused? Was she like me when I initially thought Jesus said no, but actually, well, did she feel rejected? I think Mary knew Jesus, her son, so well that she did not need to know, understand what he meant by that statement. She just trusted that he would help and that she didn't need to know the details. She didn't need to know the timing of how he will fix the situation that there was no more wine. Because in the next verse, she just turns to the servants and she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." So as believers in Jesus, when we run into situations where we don't understand, and what is our response when we ask God and the response is something we don't understand, or sometimes we feel like there's just silence and God is not answering, what do we do in those situations? Do we act like Mary and just trust him that as long as we ask, we don't need to know the details? We don't need to know the answer, the specifics of how he's going to answer. All we need to know is we trust God, that as long as we bring up the situation to him, as long as we bring our questions to him, he will always resolve it for our good. So moving on to the next point, which is seek and you shall find. Seeking, as Pastor Sam elaborated more last Sunday, seeking is a pursuit. It is seeking God. It is putting God first. It is pursuing his presence, what he delights in, and putting his plans ahead of our own. So if asking is the knowledge part, asking is knowing God's will, seeking is actually implementing what is God's will, and that is where the pursuit portion comes in. It requires action. Then I was thinking, if these verses are talking about prayer, does prayer then involve action? I've always thought prayer is something just passive, like us talking to God. But then I realized prayer, just like any other forms of communication, is not just words, it's not just thoughts. It also involves action. Research shows that most of our communication is actually not verbal. Nonverbal communication, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's around 60 to 70% of communication is not nonverbal. So I think that's the same in prayer. It's like we don't stop just by asking God's will. We actually pursue God's will, and that's where the seeking comes in, when we actually move into action to pursue what God's will is, what his plans are. And so pursue his plans instead of our plans. The next part is knock and it shall be open. It's really, knocking is really involves persistence and faith. And one of the most popular examples of persistence is in the Bible. It's about the persistent widow, where there was a widow and she kept on going to the unjust judge, asking for justice. Day in and day out, she just kept on coming, she kept on coming. And finally, the judge relented. And not because he was just, but because the widow was so persistent. And the judge just wanted to get the widow off his back. So in persistence, so that's is mainly persistence basically means once we know God's will by asking, we pursue God's will by seeking, and then we pursue it continuously. We don't stop knocking on that door until the door opens and our prayers are answered. And an element of the knocking then is it's actually twofold. It's not just persistence. It also involves an element of faith. In Matthew 21:22, God tells us, believe what you have asked for, and it will be granted unto you. So the persistence, because we cannot just, sometimes we can persist on knocking, but our heart is not in it. We can persist in prayer, but our prayer doesn't have passion, because deep inside, we actually don't believe it, and we are just going through the motions. So it has to be twofold. It has to be persistence and faith. That when we ask, when we persist, when we knock on the door, it's not because we were told to knock, but it's actually because we believe with all our heart that if we continue knocking, the door will be open. So in summary then, asking is determining God's will. And just going back to the first part of Luke 11, because I was wondering, why did Jesus use the example of a bread? So I would just equate that with the asking, seeking, and knocking. So asking is determining God's will, and in that bread example, it is actually asking God, should I ask bread from a friend? And if the answer is yes, which friend should I ask the bread from? The seeking part is pursuing God's will, so it's actually going to that friend's house and knocking on the door and asking for that bread. And the knocking or the persistence, because in the parable, the friend didn't say yes right away. The friend actually said no. But then the person continued on knocking and knocking and knocking and asking until the friend opened the door and gave the bread. So that's where persistence comes in. So as we go through this, we could see how God gives us instructions, ask, seek, and knock. And he also gives us the response, which is his promises. That ask and we shall receive, seek and we shall find, knock and it shall be open. So when we ask, what do we receive? We receive God, we receive God's will. In seeking, what do we find? We find God. And in the knocking, the door is open. The door is open into God's best. We enter into the fullness of what God has for us, both in this life and also the life after, the life in heaven, which is eternity. I was reading this Bible on intercession. It's actually my favorite Bible intercession. It's called The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. And I love this book because it's very approachable. It's very easy to understand. It's also very practical. And he cites a lot of examples of actual testimonies that when I was reading this, I was just so encouraged. One of the things he talks about is this Jewish scholar named Honi. And so this Jewish scholar, the story is found in the Talmud, in the Jewish Talmud. So this Honi, the scholar, lived in 1st century BC. And during that time, there was a big drought affecting Israel. And it threatened to destroy a generation. And this was the generation before Jesus came. So they were desperate. So what Honi did was he went out and he took his staff and he drew a circle in the ground. And then he went inside that circle. And then he prayed. He prayed in public. He prayed a very humble prayer. And he asked God to send rain. And then he said, God, I will not go out of this circle until you answer my prayer. It's actually a very risky prayer to pray because it was a drought. So there was no signs of rain at all. But in faith, Honi went and drew that circle and he stood in that circle, risking that. And he said he will stay in that circle until God answered. You know, that requires a lot of faith. But then God answered. First, there was a drizzle. But then Honi, because he has this relationship with God, and like we do, you know, if we are talking to God, our Father, we are not afraid to ask. So when there was a drizzle, he actually asked for more. He said, God, I want more. I'm asking for abundant rain, not just a drizzle. So it rained. There was a torrential rain. It rained cats and dogs. And then Honi went back and said, God, not that kind of rain. I want abundant rain, but I want gentle, abundant rain. And God answered. He corrected it. He sent gentle, abundant rain, just as Honi prayed. So why did God do that? Because God delights in us, his children, asking him. And he delights even more in answering our prayers. But just a word of caution, though. Honi, I'm sure, did not just draw that circle in the ground out of a whim. He first started with asking. He first started in his quiet time, in his prayer closet. He asked God first, God, is it your will to send rain? And then when the answer came that it was God's will to send rain and save his people, he went out. He pursued that. He sought it by drawing that circle in the ground. And after he drew the circle in the ground, he stood in the middle and then and said in public, I will not step out of this circle until God answers my prayer. Basically he was saying, I'm knocking on this door until it is open. And then it did. Why is it a circle? Because a circle doesn't have an opening. A circle is round. So it's basically saying, when we draw circles, it's basically saying, God, I'm not stepping out of this circle. There's no way out. I'm all in. I'm risking everything because I believe in you. I have faith in you that you will answer. So for me, when I read this, I actually applied it. So I asked God, God, what do you want me to circle in prayer? Is there something you want me to draw a circle on? And the answer was my family's salvation. I have family members who are not yet believers in Christ. So what I did, I just did something very simple. I mean, I pray for them, obviously, but it was interesting. So I just took a small notebook. I drew a circle. You know, I wrote down their names, and I wrote family salvation, and I wrote a verse. You know that verse about if you believe, you and your household will be saved? So I wrote that verse, and then I drew a circle. You know, it's a simple act, right? But it was interesting that when I started praying, it was just more powerful. It was interesting that just that visual of that circle around my family and the words family salvation. So every morning when I pray, there's just more intensity in my prayer. And because I think it was my act of drawing that circle, which was actually a commitment. I was committing to God and saying, God, okay, I commit that I will not stop praying. I will not stop knocking until you answer. Until you answer these petitions, because these petitions are in accordance with your will. And you say in your word, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. So if you could just invite Ernie to come up. So as Ernie plays the worship song, I would just like us to spend a few minutes. Let's just still ourselves, forget about all distractions and just focus on God. And let's ask God this question. Father God, is there something you want us to circle in prayer? Yeah, let's just spend a few minutes asking what God's will is. And if there's something, a particular situation or person or decision you are praying about, or it could be you just started praying about it, or you've been praying a long time about it or for it, why don't we go back to the beginning and actually ask God, God, what is your will in this particular situation? What is your will in this particular matter?
And stories of what they think you're like, but I heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. So you are, so you are, so you are, and I'm loved by you. So I am, so I am, so I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. So you are, so you are, loved by you. Who I am, who I am, who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To you are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you're a good, good Father. So you are, so you are, so you are, and I'm loved by you. As you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. So you are, so you are, so you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am. Who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. Who you are, who you are, and I'm loved by you. Who I am, who I am, who I am.
Yeah, Father God, we just thank you so much, Lord, that you are a good, good Father. You are a Father who loves us, and you only give us good gifts. So I just want to bless my brothers and sisters, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that when we ask you, Lord, you always answer. So we have so many questions, God. So I just pray, Lord, that as we ask you and we receive the answer, Lord, that you will give us the grace, Lord, to trust in whatever we hear from you, Lord, to trust that you are, that you know best, that we don't need to understand. There are times when we don't understand, God, but it doesn't matter. Because you are a good, good Father. And you are, your will is always perfect. You love us so much that you don't leave, give us what is good, but you give us what is best. So Father God, we ask that as you speak to us, Lord, that you enable us to seek you first. You enable us to knock and persist to knock on the door that you have asked us to knock on, to knock until it opens. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. So let's move on. Let's lift up our community, those who are suffering from cancer. So let's pray for healing and also for those who are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let us pray. Now let's lift up members of our community who are suffering from illnesses, and let's also pray that for the ultimate healing, which is salvation. Let's lift up people who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray that they will just be healed in Jesus' name. lots of members of our community who are looking for jobs, that God will just provide for them, that there will be divine opportunities, open doors, and that also in this time of waiting and seeking, that they will really spend this time wisely and that they will grow in intimacy with God. Let's pray for our mission focus for today. Let's pray for Japan and also our missionary there, Pastor Sophia. And let's also pray for Cambodia and also our missionary Grace and our partners there, Oasis Home, which is led by Pastor Jenny. Oh. Let's lift up our missions council, that God will just give them the wisdom as to which opportunities, which organizations we can partner with, and what mission trips we should embark on. And let's also pray for our local outreach teams, that as they go out, that they will just be able to spread the light of God wherever they go. Let's also lift up SP Fam, as more and more families are stepping up, that the process will just be smooth, and that God will bring the right babies into the community, and that these babies will also find their forever family, and they will find Christian families. Let's also lift up the Friday evening gatherings tonight, and also the house churches that are meeting, that they will just encounter, that there will be open schedules, there will be unity, and they will just encounter God tonight. So Father God, we just thank you for today, Lord, and we just lift up the rest of the day to you and the rest of the week. And yes, just pray for my brothers and sisters that today that they will indeed ask you, God, what do you want us to do, Lord? We lift everything up to you. We just bless them. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So enjoy your quiet time with God.